My subject tonight, I'm going to do something different. Can I do something different? I want to talk to you about, just a few minutes before I read my scripture. John Maxwell, one of the greatest leadership teachers in the world, I've talked to him and met him, but I am going to emphasize something that he says, and then I'm going to disagree. Only time I've ever done this in my life. I'm going to openly disagree with him about something, but I'm going to do it in a real gracious way, because his leadership teaching is so far out there. I mean, it's so par excellent. He has some insight. I mean, anybody that has insight about leadership is John Maxwell. But he makes this beautiful statement that has come back to me for years and years and years, and it's just simply this: you cannot afford to outgrow your leadership base in your church. You can't afford to outgrow your leadership base. One of the wisest statements I've ever heard. John Maxwell is so cool. I heard him preach it because of the times. And he preached like an apostolic preacher. I think he knows more than he's telling everybody. Okay. He's just trying to be real careful how he shares it. But anyway, that made me really think through the years, and it's come back to me. Now, we've had some men of God. Thank God for Brother Marshall. Haven't we come to love him and his wife and their beautiful family? And he talked about revival, almost incomparable revival, coming our way. Brother Cornwell is talking to me, and he sees some things he feels in prayer and in the Holy Ghost. If we called it something, we could say there's going to be another wave. If these men are as sensitive as I think they are, God wants us to be ready. See, that's why I've got to talk about leadership tonight. Because if a wave of growth hits us right, we're already topping out. We're tapping out right now. You want tapping out like Conor McGregor, you know? I can't take no more. Guy 25, 35 pounds bigger than him, punched the living daylights out of him and then got him in a rear, what do they call it, rear chokehold or a rear something. I think it was a chokehold of some kind. And then he tapped out. He shocked everybody. How would I know anything about that? Well, you know, mixed martial arts. If I wasn't a preacher, I might be a referee. You thought I was going to say wrestler probably, but I'm a referee. I'll go with the referees. Okay. So right now, there are so many things happening beautiful, but we have a leadership deficit right now. And I want to appeal to you. I'm going to give you a quote. Okay, this is a brand new quote. I don't think I've ever used it. And it comes from a lady who has the right name to give us a quote. Her name is Solomon, last name, okay? Nancy D. Solomon. And she said this: you get in life what you have the courage to ask for. To my young men that claim to be preachers, please take notes tonight. If you claim to be a part of this church, please take notes. If you're not a part of this church, please take notes. I covered everybody, I believe, didn't I? Write something down, or at least just fake me out and make it look like you're taking notes. Brother Tim, please take notes. You believe it's been weeks since I said that? Okay, here we go. Thank you. Yes, do the quote again. Thank you, Pastor. Tim, you're too much. You're a hoot. Here it is, and it's real short, but I love it. You get in life what you have the courage to ask for. Sometimes we just don't ask God for more, you know? We don't ask people to give just a little bit more. And I'll tell you this, sometimes even just giving us, thinking I'm going to give, like tonight, I was trying to worship a little bit better than I normally worship. I really was. I was trying to put a little more effort into it. I really want the enemy to pay when he messes around with some of us. I want to make him just feel a little of that heat that he thinks he specializes in. Okay. So, I want to ask a question. It's the title of our lesson, and this question is the title, and that is, where leadership really begins. Okay? Where does it really begin. And I have a statement for you. And Sister Gwen's going to help me with this. Okay? I guess we put a question mark on if you want it. I guess it doesn't have to have it, but we could. I don't think I did in my notes there. Leadership begins in the pews. Leadership begins in the pews. Do you know that, like, these outstanding, Monroe, I'm so excited about you being an usher. That was leadership he was exercising back there. Paul Cameron, leadership. He's been exercising leadership in the cleaning ministry. I think he cleans at least one service. He's been doing that for weeks, I believe. About four times a month, he's on cleaning. We've got people serving double duty. Brother Tim made me this awesome promise, and he knew, and some of you guys knew, I was worried about 11 acres of grass to mow before we bought this property. You've heard me say this, I don't get depressed. I can grieve and not be depressed, you know. So that's not the same, okay? But when I saw the long list of projects this property had, there was a day when I thought, I don't know if we can handle this. Man, and Tim was one of them that really encouraged me. He said, Pastor, if we get this place, you're not going to have to worry about this lawn. We'll figure it out. We'll get this done. I don't want you to worry about it. That gave me probably that little. Somebody said, your friend is the one who stings you. S-T-I-N-G-S, stings you into action. Sometimes we want people to give us wings when they need to give us spurs. If you've ridden a horse or two, you know what I mean. I mean, sometimes you can say giddy up and the horse will respond, and sometimes he doesn't really kind of listen, doesn't want you to think he's listening. And so you take your heels and you dig into his flanks, and he figures it out that you meant what you said. Let's get the show on the road. And I've had horses take off with me, and I thought I invented airmail. There were a few times when I did, because I ended up flying. My horse went right and I went straight. He just didn't tell me he was taking a right. Okay. So I literally had that happen. Never gave up on the horse. Just tried to learn how to ride a little better. Praise God. Okay, so I've told Sister Jessica this. When she got up to testify about a week ago, these girls got back from Minister's Wives Conference, how many of you heard her testimony? My mind has come back to what she said. These days, she's not only anointed when she sings, she's anointed when she testifies. And I'm really meaning this. She touched on a vital, vital nerve. Now, okay, I'm going to explain to you where I disagree a little bit, just a little bit. With John Maxwell, who to me is my favorite all-time leadership trainer and a leader himself. Okay. He says there are five leadership levels. I believe that. At least five. And we're not going to talk about all five, but would you like me to give you the first one? Yeah. How many would John, would you like me to get? Raise your right hand. Just give me that. You guys are killing me tonight. This is going to be on the internet. Pray for me. I'm having fun. I'm just teasing. Well, he says, and again, this guy is a trainer of trainers, man. A man's a preacher. When I saw him minister, because of the times, I saw a man that was trying to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and what he said and what he didn't say, what he taught on and what he didn't say. I saw that and I thought, wow, that's kind of amazing. Because he doesn't call himself Apostolic Pentecostal, but he reminds me of one. He says that the first level of leadership is what he calls, and we're going to put this word up, positional. It's the lowest, he says, it's the lowest level of leadership. Now, there's a lot of wisdom in what he's saying, okay? Let me explain a little to you about what positional means, okay? So, let's say Sister Meadows is not only the First Lady, an amazing one, fantastic First Lady at that, but she's the prayer director. So since she has that position, she's now a leader. But how many of you have been around somebody that had the position, but they were terrible leaders? As a matter of fact, they weren't leaders at all. They were a joke, but they had a title. Now you see where I'm going to differ just a little bit, but it gets better than this. Just because we have a title doesn't mean we're a leader. But there's something about a title, a shingle, you know, outside your door, a little sign. You know, somebody said you can paint the pump handle red all you want. It doesn't mean there's water in the well. So he explains the dangers. And this is where I totally agree with him. And then I'm going to add something to what he says. He explains, though, about positional leadership, okay? And here is the deal with positional leadership. I can give you a title and people follow you because they have to follow you in that area. Yeah. But when they follow you on a positional leadership level, they give the least amount of energy and effort they can because people don't like to have to do anything. Well, she's the prayer director, so I guess I better pray. She's challenged us to open our mouths and pray loud, so I guess I better pray loud because she's the prayer director. See, positional leadership is kind of shallow, isn't it? Now watch this. There's a level. Here's where I get off the train with John. I want to say this to John Maxwell. John Maxwell, that isn't the first level. There is a leadership that happens before there ever is a position given. And it starts in the pews. Now, you take this young lady here. What was your name again? I think it was, it seemed like it was started with an A.
My name is Amber.
Amber right now. I'm in a tease mode here. Amber's ministering in all directions. And frankly, could I say I'm very proud of her too? But guess what? Now, I'm going to blow your mind. She doesn't have a title. So she couldn't be a leader, right? Wrong! Get it? He said, John Maxwell said, that the first level is positional. And I come along to say, no, there is a leadership that must happen before you ever have a position. And by the way, who do you think we give a position to? Somebody who's already doing something in that area of ministry and that stands out to us. So we finally give them a title. But ever since we learned how to baptize correctly, you know, we don't baptize in the titles. That was a revelation to Joe over here. We don't baptize, do we? Sing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, because we know we're supposed to be baptizing in the name of Jesus. And because we've had a revelation of the name over title, we don't put as much reverence on titles as we used to. That'll preach. Somebody shout amen out there. Woo! Okay, so listen to this. We are needing people to help us in every way possible. I'm going to try to say this as best I can, and then I'm going to give you some scripture. They used to say this. If you want your church to grow, find a need and fill it. Now listen, that's not bad advice. Find a wound and heal it. If you want your church to grow, find a wound and heal it. Find a need and meet it. This young man's getting ready to be a worker at one of our camps. Is that pretty cool? He's going to be a worker. This young lady over here, Sister Alicia, give me your hand. Oh, I got both of them. I got a bonus. She's involved in a number of ministries, but guess what? She has no position. So I say to John Maxwell, and I say to you guys, the first level of leadership is not a position. It's beneath that. It starts before you ever have a position. And this is the kind of leadership that I'm asking for tonight, because I'm having to rustle up some courage to ask you, because many of us don't really have a ministry. And we have so many needs. Some of us are doing triple and quadruple duty to take care of needs. Here's something you could put on the side, okay? Leadership is meeting needs. That's what it's about. If you want to boil the grease out of it, boil the fat out of it, leadership is about meeting needs. We celebrated a couple tonight because this past week they jumped in and they helped make things happen. People went down. Matt is in the hospital. Peggy's going down. Brother Dinkins is still out having a vacation. It's been about 3 years now. Hope they're getting in soon. I'm teasing. But so happy that they got back for many reasons. One of them being the maintenance of my sanity. Praise God. So all kinds of things were happening. And you might think it's a simple thing to put out a bulletin, but baby, you ought to try it. Uh-huh. As they say in the deep south, I won't say who said it, but somebody said, well, let's not have one this week. That's not good leadership. Oh, we won't have a bulletin. Sorry, folks, we won't have a bulletin this week. I didn't think that was good leadership. Oh, we had to hustle to pull it off and getting it printed and getting into the printer and it went on. It was uncanny. You know what uncanny means? It does not come in cans. Okay. Watch this. The lowest level of leadership, he says, John, such a great teacher, is positional. I say it's even lower than that. I've got people right now, I could give them a title. They've earned a title. Amber works in outreach ministry. Amber sings up here. Oh, and as a little extra, she sings on special holiday weekends, along with her daughter, who also sings, who works in the nursery. I don't know, she's all kinds of time, contacting people, following up, inviting. She's almost the unofficial Tim and Amber, the unofficial fellowship directors. There's no title. See, my daughter's gone. But she did a whole lot of stuff in this church. But guess what? It couldn't have been leadership because she'd never been given a position. Couldn't have been leadership. And if we're not careful, see, we think like, if we're not careful. How frank can I be? I believe that Jesus' name is Jesus Frank Christ. That when he's really talking, you don't have to wonder what he's trying to say. We need some of you to, I'd like to put some dynamite under your pew. Jump in and help us. We need it desperately. You don't have to be on the staff and come to short little staff meetings. I'm really being dangerous tonight. Okay, position doesn't make you or me a leader. All right, here's our scripture. The book of Numbers, if you would, real quick. Numbers chapter 21, verse 18, if we could. Powerful scripture here. The princes digged the well. Notice how that reads. That's the only verse. You know there are 31,102 verses in the Bible. You knew that, right? In the 31,102 verses, there's no verse that reads quite like this. It's the only one that reads like this that I know of. The nobles, folks, of the people digged it by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves. One translation says with their scepters. You know what a scepter is, right? It's that special, sometimes diamond encrusted tooled piece of, it looked almost like a baton, but it was called a scepter. Sometimes the wealth of the kingdom was encrusted in that thing. And when that king, you know, when the king Ahasuerus put out that scepter, it saved Esther's life. She could have been killed on the spot for breaking one of the rules. Understand? Watch this. The princes dig the well. The nobles. The princes, that expression, it's a reference to leaders. Top leaders. They were so top shelf, they were called the princes. They weren't too good to do some digging. And they were using their scepters to dig. I had my envelope straightener outer gone tonight, alias Vicky Palmer, on a trip blessing with her precious sister. It dawned on me I had not appointed someone to straighten out the envelopes and the pens, and so I hired Alicia on the spot. The pay is not really great, but the retirement plan's out of this world. All right, the princes weren't too good to dig, to do the humble jobs. You know what I come up here sometimes to do? I come up here and I do this. Well, it's Saturday. See, it hasn't gotten done yet. See, you're not just, I'm on the unofficial cleaning list. Let's see, what else can I clean up and straighten up so we don't have to deal with it tomorrow on Sunday? See, I'm doing this on Saturday. Not too good to do just humble stuff. Everybody feeling like, look, I can exercise leadership without an official title. Watch this. Every church, every organization has little stuff that needs to be done. It doesn't fall in a certain category, maybe. Little stuff. Did you know that the cleaning ministry is leadership in that direction? And we got people that are doing double duty, triple duty. I'm serious, man. They're like heroes to me. And God bless everybody. I know it's not easy, but let me tell you what I believe. I believe it's a privilege to live for God, and the smallest task I'm not too good to be involved with. Lift your hand. Let's thank God for his mercies. Let's thank God for his blessings. Let's thank him for allowing us to be in the church of the living God. In Jesus' name. I had a guy in a church we pastored years ago. Do you know what one of his jobs was? We had a cord on the mic. And so it would get, you know, we'd get to tearing around preaching and so on. Later on, we went more to cordless. But he would come in between services and he would wrap the cord in a perfect little circle so that it would look really, really, really sharp and neat on service day. Wonder what kind of a title we could give a guy like that. The cord wrapper upper. Well, the Bible says you should be in one cord, so, you know. I mean, he didn't get honorable mention. There are so many little jobs around this church we need help with. In our proud American culture, It's like I was in a Tim Hortons today, this afternoon, studying. And I donned, I had my briefcase, I had my iPad, I had my hotspot ready to go in case I needed it, which I didn't, but in case. I had my smartphone. All I needed to find was a smart preacher. Okay, I had all my smart equipment, just it all needed a smart guy to run. Okay, that was the thing I had problem finding. But I looked at my table and I saw crumbs. I don't know about you, but I hate operating in somebody else's food. So, hey, do you have a dish rag? I didn't say, would you come over here and clean this table up? No, I said, do you have a dish rag? I said, I didn't have any sisters. She gave me a dish rag. She gave it to me totally dry. So I just acted like it was fine. It's the only dry dish rag that's ever been given to me in my life. I'm supposed to wipe this table down with the dryer. Totally dry. I mean, it was still in a square. It had never been used. I mean, a square, you know, like it had been bopped. It had been bopped a square. It was still in a square. Just needed a square guy, I guess, to use it. Okay, so I'm wiping off my table and having fun doing it. Well, if princes, see, in our proud American culture, this is what we use as the lowest of the, you know, well, what's he, just a ditch digger? And that, but yet God says here that the princes were digging the ditches. Now, would you like to explain that to me? Somebody had a revelation that, well, there was something to do, that had to be done, and nobody, well, here, grab that scepter. It's used to give, bark out orders and give decrees and so on. I'm going to give it to me. That'd make a good shovel today. I don't know what that says to you. It says to me, we need to humble ourselves, come out of this positional thinking that we're not important unless we have a position. Many of you are ministering in several ministries. We just haven't found a title that fits everything you do yet. But since you don't have a title, it couldn't be legit, could it? Understand, in our proud American culture, we're too good. Now, listen to this. Here's a scripture. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet? This is 2 Kings 3:11. Is there not here a prophet? We need to find a prophet. Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. We need a prophet. I know this is a non-profit organization. I believe in prophets, though. I believe in prophets. I believe in prophetic ministry. He added them to the church, and nowhere does it say he subtracted them. So I certainly don't have the right to subtract them. If that's not hubris and arrogance, I guess I don't know what that is. But if he added pastors, apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers, evangelists to the church, then I can't find where he subtracted them. If he added them, where did he subtract them? If pastors have not been subtracted, why would apostles and prophets be subtracted? They're in the same list. Hey, that's pretty good logic, isn't it? People call me pastor. I guess, is it biblical to have pastors? Uh-huh. Somebody say yay. So where is this prophet, man? We need to find a great big powerful man of God. Oh yeah, let's see here. Find a prophet of God. All right. Pour some water on my hands. Are you all still out there? Glory to God. I got to get that microphone away from the water. Okay, here we go. Just a little bit, little bit, little bit. Oh, man, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. Oh, man. Oh, that's great, man. Thanks so much. Oh, glory to God. And somebody said, let's get that guy. He's been washing Elijah's hands. You know how long he did that? 10 years. Hey, hold on to this. That's pretty good. We need to do that more often. Pour a little more water on me. I'm getting kind of juiced up here. Glory to God. How many of you would like to have a prophetic ministry? Or is it about willing to do the smallest stuff that needs to be done around your church, around your life, around your family? I'm going to tell you what, John Maxwell, to me, you're the best teacher of leadership in the world. But on this point, I disagree. The first level of leadership does not begin when somebody is given a position. It begins before they have ever been given a title. Man, who was it? Was it you, Amber? Somebody grabbed their kids, and we were challenging people to worship a week or two ago. Grabbed some young people, your kids, and started going around marching. And you know what that's called? I don't want to scare you. That's called leadership. I know it's revelational. It was powerful. I was talking to Scott about Amber one day, not long after the accident, when I was asking him about how she did, you know, with ministries and stuff that he needed her for. And this is, he basically told me she was willing to jump in and do whatever she was asked to do. Isn't that basic? But, you know, we don't have a title for that. We don't have a title for that. What's that called? Here's some princes willing to take their stinking scepters and dig holes with them. Diamond encrusted, not too good for digging dirt, digging holes, finding some water, doing some things that needed to be done. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what most of what a pastor does? It's not about preaching, and I enjoy preaching. I love it. I have to be careful with this pulpit. You see how tiny this is? If I did what I wanted to do to this thing, I'd knock it to pieces before I'd get done with the message. I hold back so much, you do not know. My Cherokee acts up. My Holy Ghost. I go on the warpath. I feel so passionate about everything. My baby girl used to tell me, Daddy, that was so passionate. I was hoping she'd say, like, I said something that was comprehensible, that she loved my fire. Okay. So, look at this beautiful verse. Proverbs 27, verse 18. If Elisha, one of the things that qualified him for prophetic ministry was the fact that he helped his prophet mentor, his prophetic mentor. He poured water on the hands of his pastor. He did the little things, and he did them for years. Anybody ever hear R.W. Shambaugh preach? It was on the radio for years. Fiery, fiery man. Well, I was watching an old clip of a well-known preacher that had a healing ministry years ago. Had an amazing healing ministry, and all of a sudden it dawned on me: the man that was leading the service was R.W. Shambaugh. As a young man. Who was that? Sister Meadows, Brother Cunningham was talking about being in a service. He was just a lad, I guess. And it was two of our best known preachers. They were playing the violin as young people in a service. And they matured. And I think it was, I want to say, Brother Becton and Brother Tenney, something like, I mean, two of our best known preachers, and they were both playing, I might not have the names, but men of that caliber were playing the violin in the church orchestra. Man, Proverbs 27, 18, there it is. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master, we could say his leader, shall be honored. You see something there? The word keepeth, if you study the Hebrew, it means to guard. Whoso guards the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on, did you know that another Hebrew word that's translated waited on means generally to protect or guard? Again, the sense of guarding or protecting. Do you know why 1,500 pastors quit every month? They burn out. Somebody didn't guard the fig tree. Somebody didn't protect the master. You know how it happens? I know how it happens. I'm not about to burn out, by the way. If I have to be the chief vacuum cleaner and the chief envelope straightener and the lawnmower leader, and so be it. But I've got some wonderful people I'm talking to. And some of us have never discovered a ministry. But we walk in all the blessings and the benefits of having a church that believes in prayer and preaches doctrine and has an anointing to pray, believes in soul winning. Somebody shout at me. Wave your hand at me. Lord, have mercy on Mr. Percy. Is there oxygen in the room? I know why it's quiet. It's called conviction. Please, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. Okay, let's come back to that verse in Numbers 21:18. I want to show you something. The princes dig the well, the nobles. That word for noble is an interesting word. It's Nadib, N-A-D-I-Y-B. It's pronounced Nadib, and guess what it means? It comes from a word which means to volunteer. The word nobles. See it there? The princes dig the well, the nobles. Say nobles. Comes from a Hebrew word which means to volunteer. The volunteers, the nobles. And when it says the lawgiver, you know that's a reference to Moses, right? He was the lawgiver, right? The Hebrew word means to engrave. Have you ever had your mom or dad or somebody that wanted you to get an idea and get it in your thick noggin, so they engraved it? They literally just carved it into your thinking. What are you saying? I'm saying, I think Moses turned them every way but loose. It could have read something like, at the direction of the loving general overseer, at the direction of the compassionate prophet of God. It says at the direction of the lawgiver. It's like, buddy, he needed some help and he carved it into him. Get your little pretty diamond encrusted scepters, and we need to dig a hole, man. We need to find some water down in there somewhere. We need some help in this situation. And so the princes, the leaders, and the volunteers all got involved in getting the job done. And that's what we need in our church right now. Awesome. Hallelujah. So whoever guards the fig tree, whoever protects their leader, shall be honored. And there's great protection when we jump in and we meet needs so the rest of us can get to other needs. Because believe me, there are a lot to go around. Watch this. Ronald Reagan, one of my favorite presidents. I was not far from him one day. Probably, I don't know, 100 yards, maybe less. A couple times. Heard him in person give a speech. Heard him give a speech on an Oregon hillside. He sounded like a preacher, Sister Peggy. He really did. He reminded me of a preacher. Smooth. Oil. You know, just his tongue was like oil. He was so smooth and debonair. This is what he said one time. He said, the greatest leader is not necessarily the one who does the greatest things. He is the one that gets people to do the greatest things. It was nobles along with the princes. It was volunteers that dug, that were willing to dig. I want us to stop and lift our hands and ask God tonight, in Jesus' name, as we soften the lights and we just allow the Lord. He's doing something so beautiful. He's doing a rich and a deep work among us. And there's more to come. There's work. There are little things. Phone calls in the night. Text mails that fly. Requests for ministry. And we are so deeply, deeply in need of some hearts that would step forth and say, just show me how to do it. I want to be involved in ministry. Lift those hearts up to God with me, would you, right now, in Jesus' name. A cry, an entreaty. Oh, Father, I believe. So long I have thought that if I ever became a leader, it would be because somebody would give me a position. Not fully understanding that leadership doesn't start with a position. And how many through the years, Father, have we known that had positions galore and yet had no passion or fire or hunger to be the best leader they could be? Touch us right now, I pray, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. You understand, God. We are running, we are gunning, we are hustling. But I'm asking you, as our musicians come briefly for a few minutes, in the name of Jesus, I've worked up the courage to ask you to consider. It might be that you get your kids involved. It might be that you have found a niche of ministry that you could help serve in that might be small, but little as much when God is in it. We are excited. I am galvanized, challenged, mesmerized by the fact that the Holy Ghost is saying to me through men of God, get ready. Get ready. And I know all my lands. Lord, we need a larger leadership base. If we're going to handle growth, if we're going to have new people come in here with needs and hurts and wounds, it's going to take a whole lot more than what we've got here now. Some special dear hearts, you know, some men and women, young people, touched by the Holy Ghost. What did Sister Crystal say? Be willing to get your hands dirty. Be willing to get your hands dirty. And they serve people every Saturday. Meals for free every Saturday morning. I think it's 3 hours or so or more. And some of them come and take meals back, like the 8-year-old boy that came in on his bicycle because his mother was finally out of jail, but they didn't have much food around the house. And they not only fed the little guy, but they sent him home with a meal for his mother. Oh, would you lift your hearts to the Lord? Would you say, God, use me. God, use me. Father, thank you for allowing me to be a part of the church of the living God. Oh, Lord, raise up Raise up non-positional leadership. Raise up folks who don't have to have a title. Lord, bless every home, every family, every individual that calls Faith Worship Center their church. But we need help, Lord. I'm asking you to speak to us. In Jesus' name. Lord, I believe you. I believe there's a whole new growth wave that wants to hit us. And God is not in the business of overwhelming his children, though often by circumstance, Lord, in situation we get that way. Oh, let there be ministry. Let there be a call that goes out tonight. I'm going to ask my wife to stand and lead us in a special ministry prayer. Lord God, I worship you. Thank you, God, so much.
Lord, I just thank you that we are a part of your church, your body, God, and we have a building. We have people that we minister to. There are so many places, so many opportunities that we need hands, willing feet to work, to build your body, to build your church, to build your kingdom. As more kids come in, we need more teachers. The church has to be cleaned. Everybody likes a clean church, God, but there's so few hands that help to keep it that way. God, I just pray you'd shine a light on our understanding. We've got people here that work 4, 5, 6 ministries and never complain. They give. And then we've got others that do so little, God. And your will and your desire is that we all put our shoulder to the wheel. We all carry the weight. We all do our part. We can't all do everything, but there's a place for everybody to do something. And I pray we could sit down with a piece of paper and just say, this is what I give to help build the church. This is what I do to help build the church. This is the part that I carry to bless and to keep God's kingdom and God's church growing. Because if we're not all working and sharing and giving, it gets to be a sloppy mess. And your kingdom was never intended to be run sloppily. Oh, but God, that your people would shine with the desire to volunteer and to give and to do and to go and to be. And it's all for your glory, for your church, for your people, for the visitors, for the new ones, God. Shine a light on our understanding, God, that we'd extend our hands and say, take these hands and use them. Use them not just to make a living for my family, not just to maintain my home, but to build your house, your church, your body, God. Because when we work together, there's a glory in the kingdom of God that's indescribable and unexpressible. I thank you that we're a part of the body together, and I ask you to help us to increase our availability, that this church can grow for your glory.
Oh, I worship you. If you're willing, I'm going to open this altar. I don't know what that means except